it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome into Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. You can watch us on, well, we're not up yet, but we can watch us on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all those things, brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Nothing's working today, and so the streaming is being just a pain, so, you know, it is what it is. We'll get it fixed.
Hey,
I'm a little irritated.
You're a little flustered?
A little flustered at the moment, but that's okay. Yeah. Comes with being the suit. What we got going here?
Yeah, something's going on. What is that?
Please silence your cell phones. Hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday. We got a big show planned for you today, including Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. He will join us at noon, so look forward to that conversation. Mitch Light from The Athletic at 1. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, at 1:30 for his weekly visit, as Vandy is 2-0. So looking forward to talking to him. But I can't wait for this at 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We're going to devote the whole hour to this. We want your participation. Willie's 10 questions for the Titans this year. So much anticipation involved in that. So looking forward to doing a deep dive into Willie's 10 questions. Going to be fun. Derek, I don't think you weren't a part of those last year, but
no,
they're always riveting
but, hey,
and create listen, conversation.
I know Willie, and I know it's going to be cutting edge. I know it will, I'm not worried about that. I just can't wait for it.
I am so excited. Yeah. But we start things off a lot of Titans flavor today because, you know, I thought, okay, maybe we'll talk about the Clemson-Georgia Tech game.
No, it was boring.
It was just dull. Clemson's back. Yeah, they beat a bad Georgia Tech team.
Exactly.
So, you know, whatever. But what can we learn about a team in week one? Derek, when you were playing, you know, you've used this phrase several times on the show that going into week one, everybody thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl. Nobody knows they're bad. Nobody knows they're good. All those things. It's just everybody thinks they're good, I should say. So if you had a bad week one as a team, what was kind of your mindset of, okay, did we learn something about ourselves, or was this simply just a bad week? Because the Titans had that last year against Arizona.
Yeah, it's disappointing, you know, to come out of week one with the loss. But depending on how, you know, that occurred, you know, you either have a good team or a team that you know, needs some tweaking here and there. Even if you win, I think there's always points in a game that you feel, okay, we could have did this a little bit better. We shouldn't have done that. Well, maybe we can do this more. That's how coaches are always thinking. And players, are, you know, we think the same. Okay, what could I have done on this play? Yes, I caught a pass on this play, but what more should I have done this or should I have done that? Did I read the defense right? So there's always – you're always critiquing yourself after a win or a loss. But I think every team in you know, team sports, first game of the season, you always want to start off with the victory. But it's a long season. And you know, just because you lose – the first game doesn't mean that's the end of your season. You hope to just come out of the first game. If it's not a win, that everyone's healthy and you can go back, watch the film, correct the things that need to be corrected, and then you move on. So that's the way, you know, I've looked at it as a former player, and I'm pretty sure that's the way a lot of other guys looked at it in regards to, okay, we won, but what is it? You feel good about yourself. We have a 24-hour rule. Celebrate it for 24 hours, but also go back, watch the film, see the things that you need to improve on. Even with the win or loss, there's always something that you can improve on as a ball team. You know, sometimes in losses, there are more things you have to improve on, but, you know, even in wins, there's always nothing is perfect. Even in a win, I don't care if you blow a team out, nothing is ever perfect.
No doubt about that. And Mike Vrabel was actually asked yesterday about being able to bounce back from last year's week one loss to Arizona.
I don't think anybody was happy with the performance in week one last year. Do you take anything from that experience in terms of how you've handled the last couple weeks or this week to try and make it different?
Just hope that we can play and coach better. I mean, we turned the ball over, didn't do a very good job taking care of the football. You know, couldn't really, you know, stop them much. And it just, you know, we got beat.
You know, he gave more of an answer than I expected him to give for that, because usually he's like, last year is last year, and you can't really, you know, take anything away from that. And, you know, in a sense, that's correct that you can't. But the fact that he even touched that question tells me that it's on his mind. He's 2-2 as a head coach in week one, that he knows that week one can be a tone setter for a season. And this is a team that they're supposed to be better than. I mean, they are – in their minds, they got a better quarterback. They got a better running back, even though Saquon Barkley is obviously very talented. He's been hurt. They have a better receiver core. I mean, they have a better defense. You're going up against a rookie head coach who I think can be a good head coach. But in every sense of the word, Willie, using your favorite word, the Titans should win this game, but they have to go out there and they actually have to play like they should win this game. And I think that is on the mind of Mike Vrabel.
I think Mike Vrabel does not coach any differently in week one as opposed to week 7, 9, 11, 17. I think that's one of the things that makes him a good coach. I think one of the most overrated things going in an NFL season is how you do in the first game. I think we're so starved to have a game that counts. We're going to freak out one way or the other depending on what happens in this game. And I can remember the freakouts from the past. But to me, whether you win the game or not is, you know, it's just the same as week 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think what puts maybe a little bit more pressure on this game is you got so many guys, especially on offense, that haven't played in the role that they're going to play on Sunday. And everybody's curious, how quick can it come together? I think that's the biggest challenge. And it may not, but I'm not going to panic if they don't look good in week one. I don't think it's a season killer by any stretch, especially with the extra game now. You've got time to dig out of a hole. There's 17 games. You don't have to go 17-0 if you mess up a game. That's what's maybe different than it is in college, where if you're trying to win a championship, if you slip up one time, that could be it. You could ruin your season. And that's what we love about college football, which will change a little bit with the expanded playoffs. And then, of course, you go to Buffalo next Monday. You don't want to go in there 0-1. That would be tough. But all that to say, we're going to overreact no matter what happens, but this is my yearly speech. Just remember what happens after week one. Everybody freaks out one way or the other. And it's just one game. It's a long season.
Sure. But, I mean, I do agree with that. I mean, it's... You know, how many times has a team – I mean, I can remember back, you guys started 0-1. Didn't in 2000, didn't you start 0-1?
You guys in 2002 went 1-4.
Yeah, we went 1-4, and then we went on a streak of winning
what, all 11 but one.
Games. Yeah.
Only lost one after
11
that.
Games, yeah. So it's not necessarily – I don't want to say it's not how you start because, I mean, you know, how you start – to some folks mean the first game, but how you start, you know, in the NFL is you break it down in halves, you know, four games first quarter. Well, you break it down in quarters, four games first quarter, four games second quarter, four games third quarter, and then, you know, the last quarter you got, instead of four, you got five because of the last game. But you want to start off fast, because you want to finish that first quarter, you know, either, you know, 4-0, 3-1, 2-2. You don't want to finish, you know, 1-3, 0-4. You don't want to finish that way, because to me, that's, you've dug yourself a hole. So teams, you want to get off on a fast start, and then you want to just constantly build throughout the season, because come week 9 or game 9, that's when you start to see the separation in teams. We're talking late November, mid-December. You start to see the teams that are going to win the division, teams that are going to make the playoffs, from the teams that are not going to make the playoffs. So you start to see that distinct difference or that separation. So to me, it is all about how you start and about how you finish in this league, because you can't afford to start, especially now looking at the Titans division. You got Indianapolis that they play three out of the first seven games, something like that, are division games. Or the Titans, one of the two, they have a lot of division games their first half of their season. So if you have a lot of division games, you know, the first half of your season, you can't afford to start off slow. You know, if you're the Indianapolis coach and you got Jacksonville twice, you got the Titans, and you have, who else is in that division? I always forget the third team. Jacksonville, the Titans.
Houston.
So you have Houston once. You can't afford to start off slow because those are pivotal games, you know, and then you got to play them in the back end. So in especially when you're playing division games early, you got to start off fast and finish fast.
Well, I can't believe, I'm with you. I'm surprised he answered the question about last year opener. So we'll see. I mean, every game is big. You play 17, and it's a tough schedule. This is one of the easier games on paper on the schedule, so you feel like you got to have it. I get it. But just remember, there's always an overreaction after the first game, one way or the other. So if they win 30-0, it doesn't mean everything. If they lose, it doesn't mean the season's shot.
Coming up next, we'll take your call, 615-737-1025. But there was an interesting thing on the unofficial depth chart that I saw yesterday. We'll discuss that, and it's about a position group that Derek's been concerned about. That's all coming up here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game. You can weigh in on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here with you. Let's go to the phones. Billy has a question for Derek Mason. Ask D-Mace on Fridays at 12:30, but you can always chime in. Billy, welcome in.
Thanks, guys, for taking the show. D-Mace, what an honor to be able to talk with you. I remember when you were a rookie and I was within 5 feet of you and watch you blister down the field, make a cut, and leave a D-back just in the dust. Oh, and you caught the ball every time. Well, at least 99.9% of the time.
No, he never dropped a pass.
Never.
Just ask him.
You sure didn't drop that one when you were on the Ravens and you got us in that playoff game with a blown-up shoulder. I remember that explicitly. Great job. Hey, Mace, you know, the Titans blew up Fitzpatrick as this great receiver that, you know, was on practice and developed and did so wonderful in the off season, and then, you know, during the preseason, he drops one in the end zone. What is it that they don't see? I mean, from the perspective of a receiver, was he actually an authentic receiver that could have made it, or what is that? I'll get off. And by the way, D-Mace, I got to get your autograph for a jersey. Love you, man. God bless.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
$20, Billy.
And the honor is all mine. Thank you, Billy, for calling.
I'm your business manager now.
Hey, everybody, if you want something, go through Chase and you get in contact with me.
That reminds me. Somebody wants to interview you. Ask me about that off the air.
NIL deal for D-Mace.
Absolutely. You know, when Des Fitzpatrick, you know, all the noise was coming out, and it was good out of OTAs and off-season workouts. He was, he had the Vrabel Award, and he was doing so well. And that's encouraging to see from a young player. But then he gets in practice, and for whatever reason, as the practices started to go, that's why when I look at, you know, 2-a-day practice or what, you know, whatever they call it now, just a fall practice, fall camp, let's just call it that. I don't necessarily look at the first couple of days or the first week. Everybody getting this uproar about the first week and how great guys are doing and this and that. And I just sit back and watch and listen. I don't start paying attention until week two, three, and four. Well, week two and three. By four, you know, it is what it is. Because typically, I want to see a guy how he does when his body starts to get tired, when those days start to get long. You know, when he starts to get frustrated and irritated, I want to see how does he react then. I don't care how he reacts at the beginning when everybody's fresh, everybody's ready to go, the excitement is there. You know, a lot of guys do well then, but who's going to do well when the stuff starts hit the fan and you're hot and you're irritated and you're hurt and you're, you know, just dealing with the mental things of practice. Those guys, I want to see if guys typically step up then. And for some reason, Des Fitzpatrick didn't. He had a case of the dropsies. And it kind of spilled over into the game. I think that last game hurt him. He had an opportunity to make two plays in that game toward the end of the game. And that's what coaches want to see. You know, when things start to get a little thick, can you come up and make a play? He had an opportunity to make a play on the end route. What happened? He drops the ball, goes right through his hand. Then he runs a really good route. Woodside puts it on him, and he drops it. Coaches can't trust you after that. Quarterbacks can't trust you after that. So sometimes your last, you know, the last impression is the impression that coaches go with. And this last impression wasn't good. Now, can a kid get better? I think he can. This could be a learning lesson for him. I know he don't want to stay on practice squad forever. So this can be a learning lesson for him. But, you know, he just has to be consistent. And I don't think the coaches saw the consistency there with a group that, you know, for the most part, showed consistency. The top four or five guys showed consistency. And he didn't. And it's not like the Titans were going to keep six or seven receivers. You see how many they're keeping. They're keeping five as of now. And he wasn't a part of that fight. But luckily, you know, he got an opportunity to be on the practice squad again, to hone in on his skills. So we'll see what happens from here.
Yes, we will. Indeed. All right. Yesterday, the unofficial depth chart came out. And, you know, look, it's unofficial for a reason. But something that kind of I noticed, and Gentry Estes from the Tennessean was on Robbie and Rexler this morning, he noticed it too. Roger McCreary is listed as a starter ahead of Caleb Farley. Here was Gentry Estes earlier this morning.
Probably more confident. To me, the fact that McCreary is ahead of Farley is a good sign, because I don't think Farley had a terrible camp. I think he was inconsistent at times and a little up and down, but, you know, that move in the depth chart is not a result of Farley failing to meet standards or being injured or unavailable or whatever. That's a result of McCreary being good enough to do that. And I think I would separate that from some other, maybe right tackle, some other areas of the depth chart where I don't necessarily think that was the case.
You agree with that, Derek?
I disagree. It does show that, you know, Caleb Farley wasn't ready. Again, as I talked about with Des Fitzpatrick, his inconsistencies showed up at the wrong time. Well, Caleb Farley, inconsistency showed up at the wrong time. And this is what people don't understand. When coaches are watching film, because there were a couple of plays in the preseason that the refs just didn't call. They're watching those practice films, or they're watching those game films the next day, and they're thinking in their mind, he can't do this. He continues to do this. He continues to grab and hold. And it's during the season. I said this, I think, last week. They're not going to allow him to get away with that during the season. They're just not. He has to find a way to play with his feet instead of playing and grabbing, you know, 10, 12 yards down the field. Because you do that against these top-notch receivers, they're going to call it every time. And he's going to put his team in a bad position. McQuarrie doesn't play like that. McQuarrie plays with his feet. He plays with his eyes. He trusts what he can do. I don't think Caleb Farley trusts himself yet, and I'm sure a lot of it does have to do with the injury, and he hadn't played a lot.
I'm really curious to see how much they try to work Farley in there somewhere. Like, what's his role if he is not a slot guy? Mm-hmm. Because that's what we hear about McCreary, is he can play slot or play outside. Mm-hmm. So what's the rotation? We know Christian Fulton is going to be an anchor on one side. I don't know if he's the kind of guy that's going to move with the receiver. Mm-hmm. Probably not, right? He's probably played the one side. And then how do they rotate? Because I think Farley needs to play. Like, I think he's a talent. Mm-hmm. He may not be ready to start. I agree with everything you said. He's not quite ready. He hasn't played enough. I feel like he could be exploited. But I think they got to get him in there some. So that's a balancing act, because, hey, McCreary is a rookie. Like, it took Elijah Molden a while. He had some rough days early in the season, and then he started to hold his mud and became, I think, a pretty reliable guy by the end of the year. So all of this stuff, I think, we, again, going back to the importance of the first game, there's got to be a little trial and error as you work out roles for different people when you start. Another thing on the depth chart, Chase, that I thought was noteworthy, besides the one you just pointed out, I thought mm-hmm. that was the one. And then the other one was Denico Autry listed as the starter at outside linebacker.
Yeah.
And we brought this up last week, the day after the Landry injury, is take a look at Autry, the versatility that he has. He does play out there. He doesn't have to play at defensive end. He can move out to outside linebacker, and they've got him down on the depth chart as the starting outside linebacker.
Yeah, and DeMarcus Walker at defensive end.
Yes.
Which Walker had a really good camp. He's been around a while, not mm-hmm. with this team, but, you know, somebody they brought in to compete, and he ends up making the roster, as does Deshaun Hand. So, look, I think all those guys are going to play a role.
Yeah, and we had noted that when you watch the preseason games, not only did you like Weaver, and I think we still will see plenty of Weaver, because I think they can move Autry in. It's kind of – and Autry is dealing with what, something with his hand or wrist or something like that?
Yeah. He's been practicing.
Maybe it's a little easier for him to play on the outside. I don't know. But his versatility is important. Remember the chemistry he started to build with Simmons, with Dupree, with Landry, with the stunts and things like that, where they started to really get – some great things going as the season went along. I wonder how that's effective, or how that's affected with him having to play out there. But I do think it's an area where, hey, we're trying to replace a really good player. Mm-hmm. Weaver looks pretty good. Can he handle all the snaps? No. So let's move out Autry out there. We've got good depth on the interior. But that's another thing to look for, is where is Autry lining up during the course of the game? And how much do we see Weaver?
I think you're going to see some versatility from Denico Autry for sure. A couple other quick things. The starting receivers, Robert Woods, Westbrook Akine, no surprise there that Burks is not listed as a starter. Kyle Phillips is probably your slot guy, mm-hmm. So you'll use him. And then Austin Hooper is the starting tight end, as is Jeff Swaim. So if they go too tight set, you're probably going to see Hooper and Swaim. Again, no surprise there, but I think that will change, and we'll as the year goes on, because your hope is Chigakonkwo can jump in there too. But Nicholas Petit-Frere is the starting right tackle. Dennis Daly, his backup. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Dylan Radin's listed as a guard behind Nate Davis. So we'll see how that goes.
His days as a tackle are over.
Hopefully he never has to play.
Yes. And I will reveal this right now. There is not a question about Dylan Radin's in my 10 Titans questions. We're taking a break.
Thank
We're
you,
taking
Willie.
A break.
Appreciate. Well, we are. That's true. Coming up next, does Derek believe that Josh Gordon could be a factor this weekend for the Titans? We'll discuss that. Coming up next, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Availability being as big a quality as it is, how much do you guys factor in Gordon's lack of availability over the course of his career?
Well, those are things that, you know, really are out of our control. I mean, I think we'll look at how he handles, you know, each day. And if he is, maybe we'd anticipate him being available to us. But I wouldn't look at anything in the past, and we're excited to work with him and see how he develops within our offense.
Back here, Chase, Willie, and D-Base, 102.5, 106.3, the game. I never know what Nick's going to play.
Apparently the Titans have signed Indiana Jones, and he's going to be perhaps competing with the wide receivers for
Could
playing
be.
Time?
Dr. Jones. Yeah, there
Jones!
You go.
Jones!
Jones! Chase Willie and D. Mace. Can Josh Gordon help the Tennessee Titans, and could it be as early as this week? Now, Derek, we just showed you some video during the break that Teron Davenport shot yesterday at practice. It was cone drills, a couple of different drills that Josh Gordon was running. I was impressed by the speed and the explosiveness that he still has. But through your receiver eyes, do you think that at 31, 32 years old, he's got enough that he could actually help this team?
I think he can. It just depends on what is his defined role, you know, because he can help the team in several different ways, you know. But what is going to be his predominant role on this team moving forward? Do they want him to be the third wide receiver? Do they want him to be the fourth wide receiver? Are they setting up just specific packages for him? Is he a guy that they're looking to, you know, be in a lot of the run sets, to be a blocker? Are they looking for him to, you know, stretch the field? So his role will be defined, you know, if it hadn't already been defined. But I think he helps define that role with his play, how he practices, and then how he goes out and performs in a game. So his role can change from week to week depending on, you know, how quickly he picks up the offense, because the kid's a talent. We all know that. But it's just getting him, you know, acclimated to what they're doing from an offensive standpoint. And you know, if he can pick that up pretty quickly, then, like I said, his role can change from week to week. And the longer he's here, the better it is for him.
This goes back to my theme of this first hour: is how willing are you as the Titans to let it play out a little bit for the first? Let's just give it a month, right? Even if he's not ready on Sunday, does he show you enough behind the scenes to say, you know, he's in good shape and he might be able to help us over the course of the year? Let's not rush it here. But it's funny you brought up that video, Chase, because I saw the same thing. I noticed that yesterday too. It's like I had my son ask me yesterday, isn't he really old? I was like, well, he's only 31. So, and there's not a lot of mileage in terms of getting beat up over the course of seasons, because he's had 14 passes thrown to him in the last 2 years. None in 2020. Did not play at all. 2021, he was there for 12 games. It says in Pro Football Reference that he started 7, but he only had 14 passes thrown to him all season for the Chiefs. So there's not a lot of wear and tear. But you see the length, right? When you see him do those drills, and Derek, you know, his feet look really light to me. He looks like he's fresh. He's in good shape. And you see that 6'3 frame, and it's tantalizing, right? It kind of has you saying, well, I can see why people just keep giving this guy chances, because he's got tools that you just can't teach.
Well, and I thought it was interesting, couple things. Derek, what you just said is how quickly can he pick things up. He mentioned yesterday that the Chiefs wanted to sign him back to the practice squad, but he thought this was going to be a better opportunity for him to actually get on the field. He did catch up with the media, including Teron Davenport. TD posted this video, and he discussed being behind the eight ball.
Yeah, no, I think it's just tough to come into a new team like I did before from Seattle, a different place, and transition week 6, you know, to try to instill that trust. Sometimes it takes years. Guys been together for a decade, sometimes 5-6 years. So I'm trying to you know, put myself in a position that I think, you know, I know I'm coming in behind the eight ball. So, you know, I got to make up for lost time, and that's just one thing I got to do. That's been an obstacle of mine, and that's just my issue. You know, I don't think it's anything I can't overcome. It's more of a challenge I'm looking forward to.
I would imagine the last couple of days been kind of like a speed dating kind of thing for you. How has Rob Moore helped you? He spent a lot of time with you, you know, trying to get you up to speed.
Coach Moore's been great. We've been meeting every day so far. I'll probably continue to do so. That'll bring me up to speed, and He's got a great knowledge of the game. He's an ex-player himself, you know, so he's got a great perspective here of learning the game and just how they want to run routes and nuance of it. And, so I'm going to lean on him heavy, and I know I can count on him.
There you go, Josh Gordon talking about being
a ruckus in the locker room right
little
there.
Ruckus,
the end of the question.
Little ruckus, but he brought up Rob Moore, or TD brought up Rob Moore. And, you know, Derek, you know Rob Moore, and he played, and obviously I think he's done a fantastic job as the wide receivers coach for this team. To me, that's an advantage for Josh Gordon to, you know, talk to a coach that speaks the language, played the game, knows how it, all that works, and that's going to, in turn, I think, help him learn things quicker.
Yeah, I think so. It's all about comfortability with an individual. If you're comfortable with this person, then you tend to, you know, open up a little bit, relax, and allow things to happen. And you trust what the person is saying, and that they're putting you in the right position to succeed. You know, this kid, he's had all the talent in the world. And I do understand when he says, listen, when you go into an organization or a team in the middle of the season, that's the worst thing. I don't care what anybody says. Because the guys that are ahead of you, they've been there basically all year, training camp and everything else. And you're stepping into a situation and you're trying to learn on the fly. And he's right. He's behind the eight ball. But he doesn't have to stay behind the eight ball. You know, he can find a way to get around it and become the eight ball himself. So it's good. It's bad that he's coming so late, but it's good that the season hasn't started yet. So he had, you know, he had the beginning of the week. He's going to have all week to kind of immerse himself into the playbook. And the good thing about this is that he doesn't have to learn the whole playbook because, you know, in training camp, mini camps, you get, you know, possibly, you know, 400 to 500 pass plays. Now, they can vary in personnel and all the other stuff, but 400 to 500 pass plays. We learn all of those plays, but then once we get in the season, there's about only 200, 250 maybe that we use throughout the season. So it's good for him that he doesn't have to learn that whole thing. He's only learning what they're game planning with and who they game planning for. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to they don't want him to learn the whole thing. They just need for him to learn what the plays are going to be for this week and moving forward. So that's good for him.
Hmm.
And then they probably got a specific package for him. Like, listen, you're the Z. You learn this. Don't worry about the X. Don't worry about the Y. Just learn this. Know this. And be ready, and we will quiz you. I guarantee he's going to have a test with Rob Moore come Saturday morning to make sure, or Friday after practice when everybody else leaves, Josh Gordon will be in the office with Rob Moore going over those plays again.
That's really interesting. I think that's an art form probably from a coaching staff is how do I get a guy up to speed as fast as possible so he can help us in a specific role? The Titans have a good track record with this. Maybe not with veterans like Josh Gordon. I would hope it would help Josh Gordon to be a veteran and have been in a lot of different places and learned a lot of different playbooks. But this is another thing that struck me about this whole Josh Gordon thing. It's a flyer no matter what happens. But when you take a Josh Gordon, a veteran like that, you're not thinking, we're putting this guy on a practice squad and just stashing him. Like, you got to feel like when the tryout happened, there's a chance we could use this guy and use him fairly quick. I'm not saying it's got to be on Sunday, but in a fairly short period of time, if he's not in there and contributing, you're probably just better off, you know, with somebody else that you're just trying to develop. You know, go back to a Racy McMath or somebody like that when he gets healthy. But they must have seen enough from him to say, you know what, I can see this guy in our lineup. We could use a veteran, and we can see this guy helping us.
This is what they're thinking. The talent is better than anything they've had over the last 5 years at that position. I'm just saying, the talent.
Disagree with that. Him at
his
best.
Is better than anything they've had over the last 5 years. And I'm not talking about production. Even his one season was better than anything they've had over 5 years. Hell, the one season was better than anything they've had as a Tennessee Titan. His numbers were better than mine that one season.
That was an incredible season. Now, that was a long time ago, but that was an incredible season.
But what I'm saying is they're looking at it as if we can hit on this, it's better than anything we've had over the last five seasons. The talent is better than any player they've had over the last five seasons, and I'll put that on anything.
Okay, I have one concern that I'm going to ask you about coming up next. And I want you to tell me if it's a big concern, small concern, or no concern at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that coming up next, but first you're going to tell us about BetUS.
Yes, it's as soon as I was talking about.
You were rolling there.
Yeah, I was rolling there. But let me get back to Bet.
Tell the betters.
BetUS. I'm going to tell you. Attention sports fans, all of you out there, men, women, maybe even some kids out there that bet within the household. you know, your favorite sports book, BetUS.com, is back for their 28th year of NFL action with the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. BetUS offers their members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including MLB, which I know Willie and Chase loves, NBA, which I love, NFL, which we all love, and more. So there's something for everybody. They've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slots, and their live dealers are waiting for you at the tables. You need a sport book with integrity and longevity. And you need to know that you will get paid. Everybody needs to get paid. You need a sport book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horse racing, esports, all kinds of crazy bets. I mean, esports, that's the video games, right? Goodness gracious, they got everything. Call today at 1-800-79-BET-US. That's 1-800-79-BET-US. And they will walk you through setting up a new account. Nobody in the industry gets better bonuses than BetUS. Join now, mention 1025, and you will get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. Head to BetUS.com and join today. That's BetUS, where the games begin.
We're broadcasting live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Chase Willie and D. Mace on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We will review our 10 questions from last year for the Titans coming up in just a few minutes. And then at 11, we will ask the questions for this year. We will want your participation on those as well. Here's my one concern about Josh Gordon. And it has nothing to do with him necessarily. None of the off-the-field stuff. You know, Vrabel didn't really seem all that concerned about that stuff in his past. It has to do, and I don't necessarily mean this as a knock towards Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill is a big chemistry guy.
Yes.
And you saw it last year in the opener that with a lot of guys that missed training camp and, you know, he just didn't get a lot of time with Julio Jones, the chemistry wasn't there. And when he first took over as the quarterback, the guy he threw to the most was Jonnu Smith because Jonnu Smith at that time was still second team, and so he got a lot of reps with Ryan Tannehill. Chemistry was there. So I worry about you're trying to bring a guy up to speed and make sure he's good to go just for 1 week, but what is the chemistry like between him and Ryan Tannehill? Is that a concern to you at all?
Yes, it is. You know, in order for a passing game to work, you know, you have to have that. In order for a passing game to be efficient and work the way it's supposed to and consistent, you got to have that chemistry with your pass catchers. You know, teams that struggle, typically, you know, you're adding new pieces to a puzzle and you're trying to get used to those new pieces. Teams that have, if they have a good quarterback or an elite quarterback and they've been with their pass catchers for a year or two, you're going to see the passing game go a little bit more seamlessly. It runs a little bit more seamlessly. So I am a little concerned about you know, Gordon being on the same page with Ryan Tannehill. We will see. I'm sure they will get a lot of reps together, whether it be, you know, 7-on-7 team or just them two on the side while the defense is going over there, over their plays, and scout team offense is out there. So they're going to make it their priority to make sure that Gordon and Ryan Tannehill are on the same page, especially if they see that Gordon's picking up the playbook and he's right on pace to where they want him to be. Then they're going to make sure, or they're going to try to make sure, that chemistry between Gordon and Tannehill is there enough that they can have some success in the first game. So to answer your question, yeah, I'm a little worried, but, you know, I'm sure they'll pick it up. I'm sure that, you know, you may see a mistake here or there, but I don't think you'll see it, just a complete debacle between those two.
All right, so our 10 questions from last year. We'll get to the ones from this year coming up at 11. And, again, we'll want your participation on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. But, Willie, you have our questions from last year that that we did here on the show. And these were entertaining. So please review.
And what we did is last year we asked these questions at the beginning of the season, and then we revisited every quarter of the season to see how crazy the questions sounded and, of course, how they played out. So I tried to take the 10 areas that we discussed the most during the training camp. I mean, the anticipation for a football season in this area of the country is really amazing, especially when we talk about just the popularity of the NFL in general and now where the team is. I mean, there is an anticipation for a season. So we talk so much about certain things before they ever play a game. We talk for 6 weeks before they ever play a game. And it's amazing how a season can turn on a dime, and something you talked about for a ton of time becomes a complete non-factor during the season. So we'll do that again this year. I thought it was a good exercise. And we'll see how well we are predicting the future.
It's the best exercise I get.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right. So, for example, here was the first question I asked last year. Will Sam Ficken be the kicker for the whole year?
Will Ficken do the kicking?
Yeah.
I guess that
Remember how much time we talked about Titans kickers last training camp?
What did I say?
It was unbelievable.
I think I said no.
Well, of course, unfortunately for him, he got hurt, and so we never saw him even try to kick. He never kicked in a game.
That's right.
He got hurt before the first game. Do you remember who came in and kicked the first game last year?
It didn't go well. Randy.
It didn't go well.
No, who was it? It was crap. I can't remember. I see him, but I can't remember his name.
Michael Badgley.
Michael Badgley.
Who ended up kicking for what team last year?
Colts.
Yes. He did really well. He had a nightmare game in the first game, which the entire game was a nightmare against the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. But Sam Ficken never kicked in a real game for the Titans.
Ficken didn't do the kicking.
I predicted he would kick the whole year for the Titans.
Ficken did.
He was perfect in the preseason.
So you were the one.
Perfect. I was the one.
Okay.
You said no. Darren said no. Over under 79.5 receptions for Julio Jones. Now, think about how much we talked about Julio Jones last summer.
Ooh. I said over, probably.
Nope. You and I said under. We got that right.
Okay.
Yeah, Darren said over.
Okay.
Three, over under 1,550 yards for Derrick Henry.
I said over.
All of us said over.
And he would have been over had he not gotten hurt.
But see, we this is where we debated when the injury happened, is how do we view that? Now, in my view, getting injured is part of the deal.
Yep.
Right?
It's a loss.
Either you get it or you don't. When you make this prediction, you got to predict, is he going to get hurt? You know, or how do you factor in if he does get hurt? So
injuries are a part of prop bets. I mean, if a guy gets hurt, a guy gets hurt.
Yeah, what you're saying is entirely true. He was on pace to easily get that, even if he slowed down in the second half. And what many people pointed out as recently as yesterday is Derrick Henry usually does his best stuff
Okay, rifle
in the second half.
Rifle
of the
through
year.
The rest of them real quick.
We had a question about Bud Dupree, 10 or more sacks. We know that didn't happen. He only had 3. We're going to have a redo on that question. Okay. A little sneak preview. What will the Titans' record be? We will do that again. You and I said 11-6. You said 12-5. Chase, you got it right on the nail. Nice job. We asked if the Titans would have 40 or more sacks, which would have been a huge improvement, like double the sack total that they had. Remember, they only had 19 the year before. Who will be the most productive receiver, not named Julio Jones or A.J. Brown? We all got that horribly wrong. We had the guesses were Anthony Firkser and Josh Reynolds. We know that didn't happen.
Nope.
Third down efficiency. Remember how the Titans had been torched in 2020? They gave up 52% third down conversions, which is, that was like unprecedented how poor that was, and yet they still won the division. They got way, way better in that last year. And so the question was, would they have better than the league average? And they absolutely did. They came through very well defensively last year. How about this one? Blast from the past. Question 9 was, will Darrington Evans be active for 10 or more games?
Whoops. Okay, I know Darren and I said no.
I can't read my writing.
I know we said no.
Yeah. We had Ryan Tannehill, 28.5 touchdown passes as the over-under. He definitely came under with that. And the bonus question, will either Caleb Farley or Dylan Raidens be a starter by December? Technically, Dylan Raidens did start a game in December because that was the one game he started. So by default,
everybody else was out.
Yeah, but we know Farley and Raidens basically were non-factors, the first and second round picks last year.
It don't seem like neither one going to be a starter by this December.
I don't know about that. Farley might be. You never know. All right. We will come back with our 10 questions for this Titans season. Hopefully they'll be as entertaining as those. Again, you can participate 615-737-1025. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.